Hello, NFL Only Better, Betfair's weekly NFL show every Wednesday with me, Kieran O'Connor, as your host. No, that would be Football Only Better every Thursday with Caroline Barker. Again, no, that would be Racing Only Better every Friday with Kevin Blake and Gary O'Brien. Yes, that's us. No, Mike's not here. Nor John. I mean, I am the host, I can help. Hello? Hello?
My favorite one. I always say it the next one.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line.
Hello and welcome to NFL Only Better every Wednesday. Into your ears, looking at all the lines for the up-and-coming NFL. And it is a big week, of course, because it is, well, the NFL in London, the start of four-game series. Mike, you are actually with the Raiders.
Yes, I am. I'm at the Grove Hotel in Watford in North London. It's a beautiful day. I mean, it's perfect football weather. I was just watching outside as they scissored up the platforms that they film the practices on. I was talking to the guy in charge of the trucks that do that, and the trucks were literally sinking into the turf on the edge of the field, and they had to reinforce them with boards and things afterwards. But the Raiders will be coming out in just a couple of minutes, and I'm starting to get excited about the first of these four games. It'll be the first one at White Hart Lane, which has its own like pull-out American football field, and I'm really excited to see how that works.
Yeah, well, of course, the first touchdown was actually scored at White Hart Lane last night with Bayern Munich getting seven. But as a Spurs fan, that's a joke, and I'm a Spurs fan.
He's a Spurs fan, so very brave.
I'm allowed to say.
Yeah, I thought Bayern should have gone for the 2-point conversion.
We've been over that, Mike. We've been over that.
Okay, well, before we just look ahead to those games, can we just look back really quickly? Because obviously last week we spoke a lot, John, about how great we were with tipping, but
yeah,
this week, this was tough in terms of a lot of the away teams won, and that can be, unless you're on the plus, which not a lot of us are,
sure,
that can be tough. I mean, the standout for me, obviously, was Browns beating the Ravens, but you had odd handicaps with Pats not covering against the Bills. And then, well, we talk about Bucks Rams in a minute, but a tough one to take for people who got involved.
It was. You'll remember last week I said Aaron Jones would score a touchdown, and I was correct in that one, Kieran. But the Packers didn't win it for it. So I just want to get that one for the record. But you're entirely correct there. It was a strange sort of week. I mean, I don't think every single away team won, but there was a well above average number of away teams winning. And as you well know yourself, that can kind of play havoc if you're looking to play the lines.
Yeah, Mike, I think it was 8 of 9 in the early games. And when stuff like that happens, it generally means Ackers are going down.
Oh yeah, it was not like a bad beat. It was a bad beat salad. I mean, you had every game coming out. And to me, the most amazing one, I think, was Tampa Bay Tampa Bay beating the Rams as easily as they did. My own best bet was Indianapolis, and of course, without T.Y. Hilton, I said it didn't matter. They didn't make it. Kansas City didn't cover the spread. And it was only by cover. Well, my value bet last week was Pittsburgh, Cincinnati going under, which they did. And the Chiefs in Detroit went over. But I really feel sorry for the Lions because, you know, they beat the spread. That was great. But they really should have won the game as well. It was a tough loss for them.
Yeah, it definitely was. Yeah. Well, I can say from my point of view, the only one that saved me was I actually went with the Bills because we discussed, obviously, that 3-1 in and around for the Bills was high. But I took them on the handicap, which when they were 13-0 down, a 7-point spread, I thought game was gone. But and that's a funny one because people often ask me, how do I look at things when things goes in play? My favorite bet is to not get involved if there's a 7-point spread. Because the first score in a 7-point spread game is crucial. Because if it goes to the home side, then you can get the favorites probably with 3 points. Mm-hmm. And if it goes to the away side, then the home side getting 7 will probably get 10. So it can pay. 7 is one that I like to stay away from in terms of betting. And I like to see who scores first, which an example of that would have been the Bills because the Patriots scored, the handicap line moved to 9.5. The Patriots scored again, the handicap line moved to 13. Anyone who got involved with the Bills at home plus 13 in the first quarter were never looking back, really. So it can, it can hold off. But Mike, one I want to talk to you about is Denver, right? And I'll tell you why I want to talk. Here's Denver's next four games: Chargers, Titans, Chiefs, Colts. Do you, and John, do you see either of them, sorry, do you see them winning any of those games? Start with you, Mike.
Well, I don't see them winning the Chargers game this weekend. And in fact, we'll talk about that a little bit more, I think, when we go over bets. Denver's always got a bit of an advantage at home, although they don't seem to be taking advantage of it this season. I don't give them a chance much against the Chiefs. The Colts is a mixed bag. And the thing with Denver is that their defense, which is the center of the team, really hasn't performed the way it should. Von Miller got back into the sack business, but he's going to be operating alone for the next few weeks in terms of that. And their offense, really, Joe Flacco is being Joe Flacco. And, you know, you just have to ask yourself, what does John Elway see in these quarterbacks? He keeps running guys through. And apart from, you know, one season of Peyton Manning where he was very, very good, and the second season of Manning where he wasn't so good, but he and Brock Osweiler managed to ride that defense to a Super Bowl, Elway's been living off that now, I think, for far too long. And Joe Flacco just doesn't seem to fit the kind of offense that they want to run. And be able to generate the consistency they need to be able to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that. That Mike, talking about Von Miller, they're getting his first two sacks, which is a strangely slow start to the season for him. But you kind of alluded to it as well, that they've lost Bradley Chubb now, I think, for the rest of the season at least. So
that's right.
That's going to be a big loss, particularly as Kieran said, pointed out, with these games coming up. I mean, the Chargers will be a tough one. Titans might be the only winnable game they have in their next four games. The Chiefs, you have to score at least 25 points to even come close to beating. And I don't see them either, you know, getting 25 points on them, or particularly with these defensive liabilities now, I can't see them holding the Chiefs to less than 30.
As someone, I can say, by the way, who drafted the Denver Broncos in their fantasy league's defense, and John and I are in a league together, and we sat down and had some beers and drafted with a few friends.
Yeah.
And at one point someone said, that's a clever defense, the Broncos. That'll work out, Kieran. I can tell
you. Was that you who said that out loud as you did it?
It did not work out very well. They've been very poor.
You know, it also shows something of what happens when teams hire successful coordinators to be head coaches, and some of the mojo goes off the coordinator's specialty because he has more things to worry about. You know, and I think you saw at the Bears. You know, the Bears have replaced Vic Fangio with Chuck Pagano without any great loss of efficiency. But Denver's defense hasn't been able to improve over last year, even though that's supposedly, you know, that's Fangio's specialty.
Mike, of the teams at the weekend that hadn't won a game, we are now looking at Redskins, Dolphins, Jets, Bengals, Broncos, Redskins. A terrible amount of teams to have not won a game, really, in a league that is, I mean, really, this is not supposed to happen. Of all of them, the worst for me is probably the Dolphins. I mean, they had a 7-minute lead on Sunday, yeah. So it's something. But
well, you want to be winning at the last 7 minutes, right?
Yeah, I think the league is going to give them a bonus point if they get over 10 minutes in the league.
Are we looking at teams here that could possibly go, you know, win? Obviously, we have seen teams go winless before, but these are particularly bad teams. For me, when I saw teams like Browns and others before them go seasons where they didn't win a game, I always thought that they were in games at least. And I never really thought, God, they're terrible teams.
Yeah.
This Dolphin team and the Bengals to a lesser extent, they look poor.
I would agree with that.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
The Dolphins have the advantage of two matches against the Jets, both of which I think will be winnable. If not, I doubt they'll be favorites in them. I remember when the Dolphins went 0-13 and then won their 14th game of the season, and I went crazy on my call of the highlights that year. But you know, basically, I actually worry, in a sense, more about the Bengals than the Dolphins, because the Dolphins at least say they know what they're doing. You know, they're sort of starting from scratch and rebuilding from scratch. And the Bengals seem to think at the beginning of the year that they had the ingredients to be a winning team, which it's now proving that they don't. And I'm not sure what direction they're going to go from there.
I think a little bit could be said about the Broncos about that, but yeah, the Bengals were poor on Monday.
Yeah, as a Brown supporter, I'm very attuned to what a bad team looks like or has looked like over the years. It's not so much the case this year, obviously, but I completely agree with Mike. I'll point to the Dolphins seem to be just the worst team in football, but as Mike says, they say that there's a strategy involved there with the lowering of the salary cap and the just getting in all the draft picks they possibly can. But yeah, the Bengals and the Broncos are just looking.
What do you think, John? Because in a way, what they're doing would seem to be a mirror image of what the Browns did about, 3 years ago, where they cleared house, accumulated draft picks, and suffered a couple of bad seasons. And now they've got a pretty strong roster. I mean, do you think that was the right thing to do for the Browns?
Talk to me this time next year, and I'll be able to give you a more conclusive answer to that. The key thing, everybody can talk about getting as many draft picks as they like and lowering the salary cap. But the thing is, you have to have a good GM who knows how to use those assets correctly. And in the Browns, I think John Dorsey is great in the draft. He's done that with the Chiefs and he's now done it with the Browns. But it's not just a deal of getting in all these picks and then magically they will be transformed in 2 to 3 seasons. Yeah, that capital has to be invested correctly.
Right.
Yeah, a couple of teams have made some odd, like Raiders over the years have made some odd picks sometimes.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work out, you know. Next thing, you mentioned Browns and we will talk about them because they are one of the primetime games this week. But a big win in Baltimore. I have to say, I thought my best bet of the week was Ravens. I'm just going to say it. I thought they would win. I thought they looked so good at times, the Ravens this year. But boy, did the Browns shut them down. John, I know you'll wax lyrical, but Mike, what did you think of that? Were you surprised?
I was surprised. I was surprised partly by the Cleveland defense, but even more by the Baltimore defense, which is supposed to be pretty good, but they certainly didn't look it. And you just wonder if they needed somebody in that defense to be able to rally them. And I looked at Earl Thomas and I thought about Eric Weddle being back there last year. And before every play, Weddle looks like a traffic cop, moving guys around. And when you have guys like that, it sometimes helps you recover better, when a bad play happens and it doesn't happen the next time. And I know they're missing Jimmy Smith in the secondary, but even so, they're supposed to be a really strong defensive team. Mm. And the Browns really took them apart. And remember, the Browns hadn't done that to teams. Everyone was saying, well, Freddie Kitchens is another case of this. The offensive coordinator becomes head coach and then all of a sudden loses his coordinator mojo. But he certainly looked like the Freddie Kitchens of last year.
Yeah.
And it helps that Nick Chubb is running, but that's up to the line, too, doing the blocking.
I think when it comes to the Ravens, first off, to your point, I think they also missed, besides the names that you mentioned, Mike, I think they also missed CJ Mosley quite a bit these days.
Yeah.
But I think we learned quite a bit. We learned a lot about both teams in that game. I think we learned that the Ravens, if you can stifle their number one game plan, which is obviously the run, and force them to have to use Lamar Jackson a little bit more in the passing game, they can come unstuck a little bit. But for the Browns, I think that this was the type of game that the fan base had been sort of having in their mind's eye since, the OBJ trade back in March and then the draft and things like this. It wasn't a perfect performance now, but it did set in motion the things that they're trying to do. Like Baker was getting the ball out of his hands a bit quicker. Also, the idea of bringing in OBJ has freed up Landry, it would seem, and that's something that happened. It was perceived on paper, and that was the first time we saw it in reality on Sunday. And the same thing with it seemed like the Ravens tried to put a handle on Myles Garrett, and that left Olivier Vernon some space. So these things, it's a promising sign for the Browns. It's still, I would wager, a work in progress, but I'm a lot more optimistic now than I was after last week.
Well, let's talk about Chicago Bears at Oakland Raiders. It's a home game for the Raiders. I said last week that I don't really like Chicago Bears, that I don't think they're a good side, but then I think maybe I just don't like Trubisky because...
Well, he's injured now, Kieran, so you'll be happy.
But they looked okay. And now in terms of the game that they won at the weekend, I know people are going to say to me, but Vikings, Kirk Cousins, 3 years, $84 million. Stephon Diggs, 5 years, $81 million. Thielen, 4 years, $64 million. They're 31st in passing yards per game. They're 32nd in passing first downs per game. Chicago beat a team that played into every sort of hand that they could deal to them. So in fairness, I do think Chicago will win at the weekend. I'm just looking at Oakland's defense. 385 yards they allow per game, 22nd in the NFL. They let 25 points in per game, which is 25th in the NFL. The Raiders are not coming into a great, Mike, are they?
No, but they're coming off a really good win, which has to be said. Another one of the surprise wins over Indianapolis, and Indianapolis is rather predictable, shall we say, offensively, which helped them out a lot. Unpredictable defensively. I don't think that Oakland has an answer offensively for the Chicago defense, and that's what this game boils down to. I also think that the Bears, paradoxically, may be a better team with Chase Daniel at quarterback than they are with Trubisky at quarterback, because Daniel understands what Matt Nagy's offense is designed to do and executes it. He's not going to give you the big plays Trubisky will, but I think if they're able to run the ball, which Minnesota, you know, Minnesota was able to do 2 weeks ago against Oakland, if they're able to run the ball, then the Bears should be able to win this game.
John, how do you see it, Dylan?
I think I would preach a bit of caution when it comes to these London games, because traditionally they have tended to give out some kind of odd results where it seems like one team shows up and the other one doesn't. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, there's been a couple of blowouts in these London games in the last few years, hasn't there?
I've gone to a number.
Yeah.
The worst one was the New Orleans Saints and Miami Dolphins. It wasn't the worst in terms of scores, but it was the Dolphins literally just decided, Ryan Tannehill, they all just decided as soon as the Saints went 10-0 up, let's just not.
Yeah.
Let's just not bother. So, Ryan Tannehill, I think he lined up as a wide receiver in that game as well for one of the plays and just stood with his hands down.
I remember that play.
There has been a case, Mike. Sometimes teams turn up and they don't turn up.
Yeah, they adjust to different ways in the travel and in the different practice setting. And I always think that when you hear a coach say we've had a great week of practice, you always have to worry because when they're doing it for real, it's something different. And I kind of give the advantage to the team that shows up later. You fly on Thursday night, you get in Friday, you have your light practice, you've got Saturday off, and then you play, and you can kind of avoid the jet lag, especially when it's a late game like it is this week, because your jet lag's not quite so bad because you're playing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which is your normal time to play. Your body clock says it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, and I think you've mentioned it before as well, Mike, that Gruden strikes me as a bit of a Hollywood type guy, in that I think he loves something to happen here for him to prove a point about something. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. Bears are 5-point favourites at the moment. As we said, it can be a bit of a blowout. I think I'd go with the Bears -5. I know that's in and around the 7 of which I speak about my plot of waiting for it to go in play, but it is a 6 o'clock game, so it would be better if it was the noon game for us for in play action. But 5 points is fair enough, isn't it, Mike?
I think so. I think that's pretty good. And I see it being a low scoring game. I don't see the Bears offense exploding against the Raiders, and I don't see the Raiders offense exploding against the Bears either.
You know what I think will be a low-scoring game, is just to call back, is when the Dolphins and the Jets play each other. I think that may become my lock of the season.
Yeah, that'll be...
It could be a no-scoring game.
A festival of football, that'll be.
It's one to bring someone who's never seen the game before. Come on down to the pub.
To make it more confusing. How much do they pay these guys?
Why are there so many fags? Packers at Cowboys is the 9:25 game. It looks like a cracking contest. Again, it was a weekend of surprises. For me, the biggest surprise was Tampa. But outside of Tampa and Rams, the second biggest surprise has to be the fact that Green Bay were leading on Thursday night and then lost the game. Mike, what happened?
That's a tough one. You know, I think the Eagles were able to come up with the couple of big plays they need, basically from Carson Wentz and that offense. I haven't picked a Thursday night game right so far this season. And I thought, you know, okay, home team, Green Bay, Philadelphia, kind of inconsistent, but they just managed they just managed to pull that off. And, you know, I think a lot of credit to Miles Sanders and for surviving basically on a kickoff return where his head was nearly taken off. But basically their receivers stepped up when they had to. And it was kind of like, if you think about their Super Bowl run, they would get one or two big plays from Nick Foles. And that's really what they need from Carson Wentz.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one on Sunday evening. It's got hallmarks of a really good game. Real flash, real, really good sides. Green Bay Packers, Dallas Cowboys. Mm. I go 3.5 on the handicap. Or I go. The company goes to 3.5. I have a huge say in the handicaps. Who do you think, John?
I'd go with Green Bay in that one personally.
I think Dallas will be raging about last week. They should have beaten.
Yeah, but I think that was a more telling game than he might be giving it credit for. That was in my eyes the first good or very good defense that the Cowboys have come up against this season, and they struggled to get going. And it was luckily they only had Teddy Bridgewater opposite them, or things could have been a lot worse.
Really, they could have been. Mike, what did you think of that game? Like, beforehand, if anyone had asked me, and I know we don't massively touch on the Sunday night late game sometimes because it's just too late for us
at
times. But I really would have thought the Dallas Cowboys, without Drew Brees, would have rolled into town and beat them in the dome. I know it's.
I actually picked New Orleans in that game, which helped save my week from looking completely ridiculous. Because of their defense, basically, and John got the head of it. The Cowboys had run over three teams without very good defenses, and now they were running into one with a good defense and an offense that, even without Brees, is well schemed and has weapons and has Alvin Kamara. The key, as it was in a lot of games this weekend, was stopping the run game. Teams that depend on the run game and got stopped, like Minnesota, like Dallas to an extent, really had trouble winning. And I think Green Bay should be able to do that as well. Although on the road in Dallas, I'm not that confident. The spread is what, 3.5?
3.5, yeah, at the moment.
Yeah, that's tempting for Green Bay, that extra half point.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when we talk about these two teams, let me ask you, pivot just a slight bit. These guys are both seen as contenders-ish. So are they pretenders or contenders, John? Green Bay and Dallas, how far they can go? Who goes further?
That's a very interesting question. They're not, neither team would be, I wouldn't put money on them to win Super Bowl or even their division. I think Green Bay are a work in progress. They'll be having their eye on next season, I assume. And as for Dallas...
Dallas have come in a lot in the market in the Super Bowl. Mike,
really?
Dallas have come in a lot. People have backed them.
I think they're both contenders. It's not a really strong NFC, especially with Brees out for the Saints. But you've got the North is a balanced division where no team so far has looked dominant. Otherwise, it's Philadelphia and Dallas. It's New Orleans and maybe Carolina, and it's, Seattle and the Rams, maybe the 49ers. I don't see one team that rises above the group there.
Okay, Colts and Chiefs, guys, is the later game again. We don't go to a mass amount of details because, well, I'm in bed usually, unless I've really stayed out too late for 1:20. I mean, come on. Like, I have to look my best on a Monday. a lot of work. Kansas... I mean, like we mentioned about Detroit Lions, Kansas just get the job done, don't they, Mike? That was an amazing, amazing game. What about that Travis Kelce lateral then down to the running back? What a pass that is.
That's one of the ones that me being an old school guy, that was what the original term flea flicker meant. Huh. A flea flicker was a pass to a receiver who would run a sort of curl or hook pattern and then lateral the ball to a running back who was coming up behind him. And that's exactly what happened. It didn't look like it was a designed play. Although if you watch McCoy, he seems to be kind of hanging around behind Kelce. But I wish teams would do it more often because it can be a really effective play. And the last time I remember seeing it as a designed one was Boise State beating Oklahoma in one of the big bowl games a few years ago, where it worked like a charm. And, it's a misdirection play that can work. Kelce is just so good. And without him, that team is lost, I think.
Yeah, he's really lost, you think? That strong?
Well, they don't have a replacement for him, you know. And I keep thinking that Goddard should be, but he just hasn't been able to do that.
You know, interesting, Kelsey didn't get any points for that in fantasy because it's not a...
Yeah, you see the fantasy, that's how fantasy kills you.
That's it. I saw people complaining about that.
Well, I don't have him, so it's
fine. I said, actually, he caught it and pushed it backwards, so it should have been negative points if you ask me. But that's just, I'm just trying to annoy people. Kansas City, it's a strong handicap, it's 11 points now. I know we all mm-hmm. three of us agree on this. When I see double figure handicaps, my mind goes plus because I just think it's always too much. But it's in Kansas, or not, as the case may be. Please don't write in and say it's not in Kansas. We know it's not in Kansas.
We're not in Kansas anymore, Kieran.
11 points is strong, Mike, isn't it? It's a lot to give a team.
It is strong, but without T.Y. Hilton, I don't see that Indianapolis has the potential to put up enough points to run with them. And they really do put the pressure on every possession that they have. The Colts defense, it should be better than they were last week because their speed matches up okay with what Kansas City likes to do. But if you take away Mecole Hardman, which they tried very hard to do, Detroit tried very hard to do, is take away that top level of the game and make everything play in front of them. The Colts will be able to do that as well. I'm just a little weary, although I think 11's probably in the right zone.
Mike, would you be concerned if you were a Chiefs fan at the fact that Mahomes didn't throw a touchdown last weekend?
No, not at all. I mean, their offense was not firing very well, which concerns me, in general. But like I said, the Lions were trying hard to take the deep plays away from them and giving them stuff underneath, and that's what they took. And and the key play in that game was Mahomes seeing that they were in man coverage and no one's looking at him, so he's got this alley where he can run the ball, and from that point till the end of the game, the Lions stayed in zone coverage and they were able to pick the zone apart, which is what Kansas City do really well.
Okay. There is no late game on Monday Night Football, John, this week. Is there a late game on Monday Night Football?
Oh, there might actually be a game, Kieran. I believe there might be a game.
Is there a Monday Night Football?
Something over in San Francisco, I believe.
It's a bit more competitive. Yeah, it's a more competitive game than you might have thought a few weeks ago.
It's the battle of the good-looking quarterbacks. That's how I would pitch it.
That's not how the teams are pitching it, but okay.
I think Gardner Minshew was the good-looking quarterback.
That's a mustache. That man can have a mustache.
He looks like he stepped out of a 70s porn movie.
He's a bit rough for me, though. I like my men, you know. Okay, we're going way back. Yeah, it's Baker Mayfield, it's Jimmy G, it's Cleveland Browns, it's San Francisco 49ers. It should be an absolutely cracking game. It's two teams that are really in form. But Cleveland Browns like playing away from home.
Yeah, they're 2-for-2 away, but they're 0-for-2 at home. So it'll be interesting to see how this continues. I'm not sure. Mike, are you buying the... how do you evaluate the 49ers this season?
It's hard to do. Again, they're a team whose offense is pretty much system-based. And I think they could probably execute that against the Browns, but it's their defense that has looked really good thus far this season. I think Cleveland will provide a better test for that defense, but they're basically strong on all three levels. But losing Akello Witherspoon has been a big thing for them because they would match him up against either Landry or Beckham. And if you can't match up against one of those guys, you're going to be in trouble. You know, you might have to play a lot of zone. You might have to double team and give up somebody else. It's going to be a test. It's going to be a test for them. And again, like many games, I think this boils down to not giving the big plays to Nick Chubb and making them work for them through the air.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It'll be an interesting game. I'm hearing that there's potential that Landry might miss the game, which will make the receiving a little more difficult.
That would even things out a bit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty, they'll probably throw Sherman on Beckham, you'd assume, there, and I'm sure there'll be fireworks in some regard.
Again, it's a 3.5, which moves that half. Makes it
difficult, yeah.
So it probably just leaning towards the Browns on that handicap. Mike, what about yourself?
I'm leaning at the moment toward the Niners. And I actually think if you like the Browns, you might want to just go to the money line on that one.
Yeah, it's 85 at the moment.
Yeah.
The money line. And what about, I just noticed it's quite high for me, 46. Actually, 46 is high, but just quickly, back to Indianapolis Colts, Kansas City. 57 is the line on Colts Chiefs. I know you...
I'm looking under on that.
Yeah, no, I think we'd all look under on that. John, last word on Cleveland Browns, San Francisco 49ers to yourself as a regular Baker Mayfield fan club.
It's more than just Baker. Come on now. But I think I would be... I mean, just the signs were there last week, last Sunday, that things are starting to come together a little bit. I'd be looking for, if they're able to turn in a similar performance that they put in last week, I think they should win. And but if they don't put in that type of performance, I think the pressure will begin to start coming on Freddie Kitchens even more than it already has.
Okay, let's move on to our sort of best bets of the weekend. I'm going to start, guys, because I've got Minnesota Vikings taking on New York Giants. We saw last week about how bad the Vikings are offensively away from home and how they can be shut down. And I've also, of course, we all love Daniel Jones now, but I did see a stat that says that he's actually more interceptions than completions when he's throwing 10 plus yards at the moment, his stats. So I'm going to go under in that.
I think that's not a bad move. I don't think the Giants are going to be able to stop Darwin Cook, and I think that makes all the difference for them.
Yes, I'm going to go under in that. And then I'm going to pick, because I do want people, because we've had a couple of people dial in and say about anytime touchdown markets, etc. People like getting involved in that. So I've noticed that 20% target share of throws over four games for wide receivers: DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay, Odell Beckham, Cooper Kupp. There's a few names in there.
That's a good one.
I wouldn't have expected to see there. And they would have been probably Kenny Galladay, if I'm being honest, Allen Robinson, and Odell Beckham. So I think a little anytime touchdown score on any of those players I mentioned, but essentially those three, will bring you in a nice return. But those names again: Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay, Odell Beckham, and Cooper Kupp. They're going to be short for any time, but I think if you...
that's cool.
Them up, I think it's a decent bet. What do you think of that, Mike? They're good wide receivers.
I think that's really cool. I don't have any argument with that at all. And I don't want to give away too much about Friday's column at Betfair, but I'm leaning very heavily toward the Chargers as a best bet there.
Yeah, they look decent. All right, John, I'm just going to pass you over.
Okay.
Some of our figures. You've already had a look at what you would like, but I know as the podcast can go on, I know you have changed your mind once or twice.
I'm fluid, Kieran. I'm fluid. You can find it for me there, but I think the match I'm looking at a lot this coming weekend is the Saints traveling to Tampa Bay, because I think that could be potential for a Buccaneers win, and not just a close one. I think they could win by 10 plus.
There you go. I found it. It wasn't that difficult, John. There's only...
This is your equipment, Kieran.
Only like 8 or 9 matches on the screen. You struggle to find it.
So what do we have? We've got just on the money line, I think would be an interesting one. 6-4 on the Buccaneers. Now, I mean, maybe this might be quite reactionary, just going on how the Saints are kind of stumbling a little bit this year. They're struggling to put points on the board without Drew Brees there. I'm not sure Teddy Bridgewater is the man that can change things immediately. And again, if you just look at what happened with the Rams last weekend, there's the, you know, last year's losing Super Bowl finalists. And they're conceding 55 points with franchise record to the Buccaneers. And Jameis Winston's starting to learn to throw to the ball to players on his own team as well.
That is crucial.
Which is quite nice.
Well, he did throw an interception late on and brought the Rams in. But I do get what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
He's looking a lot better this year, Mike, isn't he?
Yeah, very much so. But that's Bruce Arians. You know, would Bruce Arians all of a sudden, Godwin and Evans are playing, you know, the way they should be able to play. And he has this effect on quarterbacks. He knows what he wants from a passing game. He likes it to go deep. And, you know, he's a good... A lot of guys are called quarterback whisperers. I think he's got a good argument to be, you know, to be one.
And Mike, give us a little taster of what you're looking at in terms of when you sit down on Friday and get the quill out and the sheet and the nightlamp. What will we be seeing on Betfair?
Well, the Chargers to me, yeah, with the line at 6, the Chargers to me look like a pretty good bet at home against Denver. I think a one touchdown margin is about right, but six is you know, is less than a touchdown. And so I like that one a lot.
Okay. And for our same game multi guys, which we've hit the crossbar a little bit at times with, I think Green Bay let us down on the handicap last week. But other than that, we got to go to the London game. It's going to be thousands of people traveling to it. We've already said we like the Chicago Bears minus -5. Total point stands at 40.5. Mike, would you be under or over on that line of 40 points?
Tempted to under.
I am absolutely under on that one. Yeah,
and I'm going to say I think someone like Terry Cohn is a great shout for a touchdown.
Maybe, yeah. I want Montgomery to break out as well.
Yeah, just don't tell John Gruden I said so, or he'll start throwing deep all the time.
That's great. Mike, as always, your column is out on Friday on betting.befer. You can check it out there. There'll be a couple of extra tips involved in it as well. Thank you so much for joining us and enjoy the weekend. You're heading to the pool now, are you, to have a relaxing...
No, heading up now out to actually watch practice and see how stupid I've been talking to you guys.
Well, thanks for joining us. And John Boff here in studio
of
NFL journalist. That's brilliant, guys. We'll speak to you again next week. And thank you for joining and listening into our podcast. A reminder to subscribe to the channel or follow the channel wherever way you listen on your podcast provider, preferred podcast provider. You can rate us as well, leave a comment and get us up the charts a bit. And, well, we can change the show based on what you say. A reminder that Football Only Better is every Thursday, Racing Only Better is every Friday on the Betfair Betting Network. So do follow and you'll get all that into your ears. Once again, my thanks to Mike and to John. Have a great weekend, and hopefully everything will come out great for you in terms of your selections. Oh, and do gamble responsibly, of course.